Thank you, Anna. As y'all are seated, I've had a few of you ask me about the stole that I have on this morning as you walked in, and I think I shared this last year, but I'm honored. Where are you, Nancy? Yeah. If Nancy Malibu, raise your hand. We're nice and high. So Nancy serves on our vestry. Nancy's husband, Forrest, who went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, was an Episcopal priest for many decades, and this is a stole of his that she graciously provided me a couple years ago, and it tells the story of the Bible. It's beautiful, and so thank you again, Nancy, and we're mindful of him as he lives on this day. So here we are, Easter. Depending on your experience growing up, I think that this is safe to say that for some of us, at least for myself, I know for a lot of my life, there's a little bit of a temptation on a day like today for this and the things that we do to be maybe a little bit more defined by our traditions than by the historical event that we're celebrating. Maybe you have your own. You know, we think of the flowers, the Easter meals with friends and family, the pictures with friends and family, the Easter egg hunts. But when it comes to this morning, this is a day that we know we remember not out of habit, and not just because we're going through the motions on this morning, but because 2,000 years ago, we know something happened that nobody expected, nobody thought would happen. That is that the tomb where Jesus had been buried was obviously found empty. That's the focus of our reading from Matthew that was just read for us in Matthew 28. So the Marys, what happens? They go to the tomb. They're looking for Jesus' body. Not there. Empty. Why? Because he's been raised from the dead. He's been raised. Raised physically, not spiritually, not as some sort of inspirational metaphor that is maybe the kind of icing on the cake of the myth that was his life, as some people might claim that it was, but physically as a historical event that people like you and me saw with their eyes. Empty. And why does that matter so much? Because if he wasn't raised, think about this. We've got to be ready to say, as Christians, that this person, this Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be the Son of God that was dying for people's sins, he might have been the most moral human being who ever lived. He might have been the most loving person, but he is dead. He's gone. He's a thing of the past, and right now his bones are in a grave somewhere on the other side of the planet. And y'all, if that's the case, that changes everything in Christianity. Because first, if Jesus is dead, think about this, there is no power in his name. Not if he's dead. You know, the Bible talks a lot about there being power in the name of Jesus. Remember, if he is a dead man, when it comes to today, actual power, there is no power in his name if that's the case. There is no more power in his name than maybe you could say there's power today in the name of Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa. I mean, you could say today that maybe there's a power in the sense of the kind of influence that those people had or the kind of memories that they left with the people that were around them, but let's be honest, that's it. That's where the power stops. Power stops there. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we have to say the same thing about Jesus Christ. But if he was raised, so I should say, if he wasn't raised, there is no power in his name, but if he was raised, think about this. Or I should add, if he wasn't, and this is one of the things we're going to focus in on this morning just for a moment. If he was not, y'all, there's no power in his name, then there is no power in this thing that we as Christians know as prayer. If he is a dead man, there's no power in that. And when we have these times when we're crying out to God, when we're in certain situations and we are on our knees or we're sitting in a chair and we are saying, God, I need you. I'm waiting on the phone call for those results from those tests that I just had. I have this relationship. It's in a precarious place. If you do not do something, it is just going to fall apart. I have no clue what to do. Things at work, not going the way that they're supposed to be going right now. I need your help. This issue going on with trying to raise my son, my daughter. I have no clue how to do this. It is such a hard time. If he's not alive, those prayers, they just fall on deaf ears. Because why? We as believers, we as people that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are appealing in his name. And if there's no power in that name, then y'all, we know our prayers, they're pointless. Let's be honest with one another. They're pointless. But if he was raised, and by the way, all the eyewitness accounts that we have of those who are around him confirm that he was, then we know there is amazing power in his name. And because of it, there is amazing power in prayer. Because we're talking about someone now in whose name we're appealing through who is alive. In our reading from Colossians just a moment ago, it says he's alive, he's been raised, he's seated at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning right now as we're all in this room. That's what he's doing. If you're a visitor with us this morning, you should know we normally take time during this moment, during the sermon, to open up our Bibles together and to look at what God might have to show us through a certain passage or maybe a couple different passages, because we believe God's word is alive, Jesus is alive, and then we know it says in places like Hebrews that his word is alive, it is living, it's active. Through it, we believe God speaks to us. Today, we're gonna do something a little bit different than we normally do as we remember the reality of the resurrection and this power that is available to us now as Christians in prayer because of it. Here's where this is going. If you were listening carefully to that psalm that was appointed for today, Psalm 118, it says this in verse 17. I shall not die, but I shall live. And what? And recount the deeds of the Lord. What we're gonna do this morning is we're gonna have a chance to hear from a couple different members of our church family as they share about tangible ways that God has shown up as they've prayed, appealing to God the Father in the name of the one that they've put their hope in, their trust, Jesus Christ. We're gonna hear from Nick Grabowski, we're gonna hear from Ricky Brooks, and then we're gonna get to hear from Joy Thomas. We're gonna do that for just a couple minutes, and then I'm gonna add one or two more thoughts, and then we'll wrap up. And so where are you, Nick? Nick, if you'll come on up and join me for just a second. If you'd come over here to my right and step up here. You're a taller man than I am, but everyone's gotta be able to see us. Okay, great. One of the reasons I've asked these people to share is because if you're friends with these individuals, you know that they are men and a woman of the Lord who call on the Lord and who trust in the Lord, and they all have different ways in their journey with the Lord where he has provided for them. I wanted to ask each of them if they would share one of those examples today. And so, Nick, would you share, as you've been thinking about and praying about ways that God has responded to you, would you share about a time in particular where you were needing God's help in some real and practical way?
Definitely. So, hello? Okay, perfect. So, last fall, we were asked to move to San Francisco for my work. And for a lot of reasons, that was concerning and caused us a lot of anxiety. And so in that, our immediate reaction was to go to God in prayer, to consult with our pastors, and to speak to many of you in the church. It was a hard time because we didn't want to tell everybody because we didn't know what would happen. But some of you do know that that was something that we started considering as early as the fall. And then I can go on from there. But that was the initial... Well,
let's think about this for a second. You've touched on this already, but what were some of the things that y'all were doing? So here you are, you're in a situation, you don't know what to do, there's this uncertainty, and... how are you engaging with the Lord? A little bit, sure, just a little bit more about that. How are you talking with other people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, of course, like I mentioned before, going to the Lord in prayer, and there were two verses that I'll read that stood out to me and kind of tie into a bit of how this resolved. But Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. And then secondly was Luke 11:10. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open." And then later it says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Mm-hmm. And so in that, we just trusted that we could hear from the Lord.
And then will you finally, Nick, just share about in that experience of knowing that you could trust in him and knowing as you were appealing to him that God was somehow going to guide y'all, how did he respond? I mean, what happened?
Right. So the response, the answer to the prayer was different in the timing and the way that it happened, because clearly we're still standing here.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise, let me tell you.
So I'd say initially our thought was in January we had struggled and prayed, and we were not getting an answer. I'd spoken to many of you, like I mentioned, spoke to Brian, spoke to Andrew, and we just maybe thought that it was one of those situations where we weren't going to have clarity and just needed to step out in faith. And we were okay with that. But something happened the beginning of January. I had to make a decision, and so we did. And we told them that we would go. And I remember distinctly, it was one of the first Sundays in January, maybe the first Sunday because it was the first. Is that right? I think. Anyway, doesn't matter. And we came in, and I was on the worship team, and I remember it had been something I'd been telling them about, asking for their prayers for weeks, months. And I told them I'd made the decision. And I just had this feeling in me that I can't explain. It was just, this is wrong. And that continued and grew. And so every time I talked about it, I'd speak about it with reservation. Like my family noticed when we get together, they were asking, and, you know, they'd be all excited, and I wouldn't be. And so it became clear, and it ties back to those verses that I talked about. And Joyce and Olivia actually talked to me about this too. They asked, "Do you have a peace about it?" And the answer was no. And so once we became clear in that and made the decision, hey, we're not going to go, we didn't know what exactly it would look like, but then God started to open doors for us. And so, you know, I didn't know if I what was going to happen with me as far as my job, what I should consider. But there were some things that happened as far as my Bible study leader from years ago sent me unsolicited text and said, "Hey, there's this position at Bassmaster that you should look at, CFO position." And I was like, "This is exciting." And also, I received the text the morning I was going out fishing, which I rarely do. And I was like, this is really interesting. Ended up having a conversation with the CEO, a great interview. At the end of that, he shared how much his faith was important to him. I got off Good Friday this last week for the first time, which was amazing. But there were just some things all along, and I felt that peace. So, you know, what I learned through this was, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and leaning on that feeling of the peace that we can receive through him.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed to know and led me into this next chapter that we're so excited about.
Amen. Praise be God. Can we give Nick a round of applause? Thank you. Here, I'll take that. Thank you. As I alluded to earlier, we are very thankful that Nick is still here. As some of y'all know, Nick serves on our vestry. He's done an excellent job. And that's our leadership, by the way, for anyone that's visiting with us today, one of our lay members leading. And we're so thankful for you. We're even more thankful that Demi's still here and the boys. So praise be to God. Let's have Ricky come on up. And Ricky, would you share just for a moment from some of your own experience of knowing that you're calling when you are on the living God who lives and who hears and responds to his people? So would you tell us real quick, Ricky, about maybe another experience that you've had where you really needed to trust in the Lord in some way?
Friday, a week ago, I went into the hospital and was determined to be 95% blocked in the left anterior descending artery, which is fondly referred to as the Widowmaker. And it was unblocked with a stent. And it had been blocked the first time 23 years ago, and it just completely closed up. I thought I was having heartburn during real intense workouts leading up to this. And one of the doctors at the hospital said, you know, it's amazing how many people die of heartburn, mistaking it for heart pain. But I was in my workouts, I was having very intense pain. And it got to a point where I really couldn't even move up a hill or whatever. So in my case, in this situation, I believe the Lord led and guided and strengthened me because every morning, virtually every morning, I pray through a number of scriptures. And as Nick pointed out, Philippians 4 through 7 is one of them. Another one is in Hebrews. It says, approach the throne of grace with confidence. And we know that the Lord is an advocate. The Lord is an intercessor. But one of those verses that I pray, and I pray for years for myself and for my family, that the Lord would put a protective hedge of guardian angels about us. And that you know, there's nowhere in the scripture that it talks about that I'm aware of, but it does talk about in Job, Satan was saying, you put a hedge around Job. You can't, you know, he's untouchable. So I'd like to be untouchable, so I would pray that. But Richard Simmons pointed out to me a couple of years ago a verse that he prays every day in 2 Thessalonians that says, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen me, he will guide me, and he will protect me from the evil one. So I believe that that through a miraculous really set of events that occurred in 23 years ago, and unfortunately this is my fifth, but that was really miraculous. But even this time, the hospitals are really overrun with patients right now. There are no beds in many hospitals. Physicians cannot see you and get you into the hospital. And that was occurring. And the Lord, when I finally realized, Ricky, if you can't walk up a hill and you're having intense pain during these workouts, you probably ought to go get it checked out. You probably want your heart. This is probably your heart. So as I became convinced it was, I tried my doctor. First answer was 3.5 months. Second answer was 2.5 weeks. And I'm thinking, you know, this is probably not good. And I called a friend and asked him to pray, who called a friend who started praying, who called a physician friend who got me into the hospital the very next morning, into the hospital the very next morning. The arteriogram was done, the stent was placed in, and, you know, my heart is it's amazing when you see the before and after pictures.
Yeah, they really are amazing. And I know on top of that, obviously, your wife Margene is texting some and saying, will you please pray? God, will you go before us? Will you break this up? Will you provide a way?
But I just think as we're seeking his face and especially asking in the power of this living, active word that Brian talked about, he will. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. He will guide us if we are faithful to pray his word, especially his word back to him.
The only thing I want to add to this, Ricky, is what does an experience like that or other, you've had, I believe, several experiences where God has really shown up and provided in powerful ways. What does that do for you in your own relationship with Christ?
Well, I think that all these experiences grow your faith. I think our faith, as the scripture says, our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But as we focus on the Word of God, and we focus on who Jesus is, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the very radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, we focus on who He is, and that He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's interceding for us. That can't help. That gives me chill bumps just to say it. That can't help but grow my faith to know that the sovereign God that created the universe, that spoke it into existence through His Son, Jesus Christ, is interceding for us, and that we're joint heirs with Him. We're brothers and sisters with Him. And so it just makes me want to, as Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And he goes on to say, in the fellowship of His suffering, that we might be conformed into His death. Amen. And so it just encourages me to focus more on who He is and knowing Him in a deeper way, walking with Him in a deeper way, and relinquishing more.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Will you all give Ricky a big round of applause, please? Thank you so much. You know what Ricky just added is really important, that we know in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I hope what you don't hear as people are sharing is, oh, I just put my faith in Jesus Christ. Everything is now easy, and God answers every prayer that I bring before Him. And life's so much more straightforward. Absolutely not. We still suffer. We still go about life in a broken world, and sometimes He answers prayers in certain ways, and somehow, and sometimes in His good design, He doesn't answer them. We still, though, cry out to Him. I want to ask one more person that I know has cried out to Him to come on up and join us, and that's Joy Thomas. Joy, will you come up? Now, if any of y'all, some of y'all are new and don't know Joy, if you do know Joy, you know her name fits her perfectly. And that is a joy that she has in the Lord. Joy, would you hold that for just a moment? And would you also share, we've been hearing stories about God providing for people in times of need with guidance, with healing. Would you share about your own experience that we had talked a little bit about? Yes. Nice here. There you go. Here, face them. Let them see your beautiful face, not just me. Okay, great.
Not long ago, I experienced just a terrible business problem, and there was no solution to it that I could find. And of course, when all else fails, try God. I know that He has promised never to leave me or forsake me, and He never has. I've been to the top of the highest Bavarian Alps, and I've been to the Dead Sea. I've been on a red Chinese pleasure ship that was boarded by red Chinese soldiers who were trying to catch people escaping from the mainland. He was with me during all of those times, and there have been others that weren't as dramatic. But he's promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so I was praying for help for the problem that was bothering me so. And Psalm 118, verse 17 came back, and it said, I will not die, yet I will live, and I will count the deeds of the Lord, the good deeds of the Lord. And I started counting the good deeds from those dramatic places and smaller ones too. And he listened to me and helped me in such a real way. He talks to me. I can hear Him, not audibly always, but in my spirit, I can hear the Lord talking to me. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing, when I did go to Him about the problem, He answered me so quickly, I was surprised. I didn't expect it. And the news was so good and so fast. Mm. And I went back to that verse, and that, you know, helped me to adjust.
So the question I want to ask similarly to Ricky, Joy, is what has that done for you? You've had several times I've talked to you about where God has shown up, as people say, in big ways. What does that do for you in your relationship with Him?
Oh, I believe Him. I trust him. I know him. He loves me. He loves you. And what he did for me, he'll do for you. Because he loves you too. Especially this church.
Well, on that note, let's give Joy a round of applause. Thank you, Joy. Okay. I can give that to you. Now, I hope you've sensed the theme here that, you know, Joy said something, we were meeting and talking this week about this, and she said, Brian, I don't think when I'm talking, I'm praying, that I'm just talking into thin air, that I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the living God. The God that made me, the God that knows me, the God that can provide for me in whatever way that I need, including the way that she was just sharing about a moment ago. And I just want to finish up with these things saying, if you're visiting today, and that could be, maybe you go to church regularly and you're here with friends and family, maybe you haven't been in church in a long time, especially with COVID going on, there's a lot of people that maybe haven't started going to church again. You could have been dragged here by a friend this morning or an in-law, who knows? We know there's all sorts of different situations. But if you're here this morning, and if you're not a Christian, one thing I know Ricky and Nick and Joy would want y'all to know is that this power that we've been talking about this morning, this power to guide us, to heal us, to provide for us, this power is also accessible to you. There's just one thing. You've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ in order to have access to it. You can't access it any other way. And if you haven't done that yet, we would ask, I know they would join me in asking, would you do that? Do that today. You know, talk to someone during the service, talk to one of our prayer teams during communion. And then we believe the Lord will come into your life. He will change your life. And then one day, you'll have your own opportunity, maybe in front of a church like this, or maybe just sitting with a friend, to also recount the deeds of the Lord, because he can be counted on. If you are a Christian, and I realize that's the majority of us here, remember, let's finish with this. When it comes to prayer, this is different than other sorts of power. In other words, the power, that the dynamic power of prayer is different from other kinds of power. It's not an abstraction. The power of prayer is not like an impersonal force. Okay, it's not like the power of positive thinking. Christian prayer and that kind of prayer are entirely different categories. This is a power that is specifically tied to a person, to Jesus Christ. Okay, and whether there's anything to that power, all hangs on whether or not this man was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. And if he wasn't, this is true, if he was not raised, y'all, then our prayers, they're nothing better than happy thoughts, than nice thoughts. They're nothing better than a kind of a mental health placebo effect. They might make us feel better. They can't do anything for us. There's no power to them. If the tomb was filled, our prayers are empty. But because it was bare, that tomb, as the angel points out to those women in this passage, it means he was raised. He was raised, he's alive, and there's power in his name. There's power. And there is power to meet our needs, to meet our material needs, to meet the sort of different needs that have been sharing about this morning. There is power for our greatest need, which is the day, then one day when we've been raised from the dead. Remember, we all will be when we've been raised and are standing before the Lord to give an account, that we will either be found guilty or righteous because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus, you can count on that power, and you can stake your life on that power. We can stake our lives on it, and then we can have the same experience that these two women had as they came to the tomb that day, stumbling upon it in fear and in joy. And then being able to say to their friends, friends, hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the living God and that as we pray, it's not just empty mumbo jumbo going out into the ether of the universe, but there is true power because there's power in the name of Jesus who lives and rules and reigns. Lord, thank you for what you did in Ricky's life and the guidance you provided Nick, the provision for joy and the countless other prayers in the lives of the members of this church, and I'm sure those who are visiting today. We praise you on this Easter Sunday. Saying all these things in that power, powerful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.